One time, after one of the battles, the companions gathered some young children, you know, that were, you know, that belonged to the kuffar, the children of the kuffar. So someone suggested that we kill them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came and he said, why? So they said, Ya Rasulullah, hum abna'ul kafara. Said, O Prophet of Allah, they are the children of the kuffar. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَمَن تَكُونُ? And who are you? Because what happens sometimes that we forget who we were one day. We all had our fair share of jahiliyyah. But when we see people in jahiliyyah nowadays, what do? We criticize them. Akhi, remember one day we were like that. We were not all born. We are all trying to take, subhanAllah, our baby step towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But for some reason we are so rigid when it comes to these people, brothers and sisters. Where we are constantly consumed by criticizing them or by just showing extreme hostility towards them. But that is not the spirit of Islam. We were there one day, so we've got to understand where these people are. But subhanAllah, we never show this. And that is, I guess, one of the responsibilities that we have towards our... You know, sometimes people, they get very... And you can disagree with me, by the way, you know. But sometimes, you know, people come to the masjid. Like Sheikh Muhammad al-Ghazali once put it so beautifully. He said that one time a woman came asking to see him. And she was not dressed properly. So she came in the office and he talked to her and, you know, for a long time and then she left. A very angry brother came afterwards and said, this fasta, you know, this wicked woman, you probably told her about hijab, didn't you? And by the way, why did you meet her to begin with? So the Sheikh peacefully said, because the doctor sees those who are sick and he does not see those who are healthy. Do healthy people go to the doctor? When was the last time a healthy person, yes, decided to go to the doctor? Do you know what I'm saying? Doesn't the doctor see those who are not feeling well? Isn't that what the masjid is for? If we only want perfect people to come in, then subhanAllah, what are you saying? Said, as a doctor, I will only see you if you're healthy. Excuse me, I don't need you if I'm healthy. I will not even consider coming to your office if I'm healthy. But I would come to you to rescue me. And that was the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People would come. Prophet of Allah, he would say, Prophet of Allah, I really want you, you know, need you to give me permission to fornicate. This is a person that came to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So everyone, they all get up and everyone's taking out their belt. They didn't have belts back then. But you know, they're taking out their sticks and they're trying to beat up on the man. And the Prophet ﷺ said, leave him alone. He's speaking his heart. And then the Prophet ﷺ would address him. People are praying. Someone sneezes. While in prayer, the other person goes, Arhamukallah, you know, bless you. While they are in prayer, subhanAllah. While you are in prayers, he said this. So people start looking at him. Say, why are you looking at me? And this is all in prayers. And imagine this in prayers, you know. You know, but sometimes, subhanAllah, our newly reverted Muslims, because they have not been Muslims for long, subhanAllah, they do very innocent, funny things. Like one time a brother was in the masjid and they were praying and his cell phone rings, okay, while they are in prayers. So he looks into the number and it was, you know, his wife. So he answers the phone, he goes, honey, we're praying right now, can I call you back? And he puts it back and, you know, continues praying. But here we have Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, similar incident takes place. What does he say? The man, the narrator of the story goes, by Allah, I have never seen a better teacher than Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. By Allah, the minute he looked at me, he said, salah is, you know, a direct contact between a servant and his Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you are in it, none of this talk is acceptable. Maybe next time you can do this. He said, I have not seen a better teacher than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam in that incident. Or even worse than this, you all know about the story. The man came in, the Bedouin, he came in and he went to the corner of the masjid and he started urinating. Imagine this happening in the masjid. People get up to beat him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, don't leave him alone. This is what he knows. This is, you know, this is where he comes from. This is what he is used to. And then he said to clean it up. What does the man say? He said, by Allah, I've never seen a better teacher than Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then what does he say? He said, oh Allah, I want you to put me and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Jannah only. Because he was really mad at the people that were, you know, trying to beat him. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam laughed. And what does he say? لَقَدْ حَجَّرْتَ وَاسِعًا. He said, you have made very narrow that which is very fast. Meaning that Jannah can accommodate everyone that is in here.
A man one time comes to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam as he's distributing the booty. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives him, you know, he gives him his share. And he looks at him and he goes, Ya Muhammad, Wallahi ma ahsant. He goes, Muhammad, very rude. Says, Muhammad, you did not do me justice. Wama adalt. And you did not do me any goodness, and you did not do me any justice. So people, they get up to beat. Who are you to talk to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in such a way? What does the Prophet ﷺ say? He takes him inside and he gives him. And he said, do you want more? He said, yes, I do want more. He gives him again. Do you want more? Yes, I do want more. He gives him again. Do you want more? He said, now I'm satisfied. Then the Prophet ﷺ goes, you know what? What you said in front of my companions really made them mad. Maybe now I can ask you a question and maybe you can answer now. So he goes out and he says, the Prophet ﷺ asks him, did I do you justice? So Muhammad, you are the best man ever that lived. You did me so much good justice. The man leaves. Then what does Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said? He said, the parable between what you people did and what I did is like a man that had a she camel that was running away from it. And people wanted to bring it back to him. So what did they do? They wanted to bring the she camel back to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what they did is that they ran after it. But then when they ran after it, it ran away. But then the man said, oh people, wait, this is my camel and I know how to deal with the camel. So he picks something from the ground and he walks towards the camel and the camel walks towards him. So this is how it was. But for subhanAllah, for some strange reason, we feel very superior over these people. We want to condemn them for what we were guilty of. And that is why in the advice that the Prophet ﷺ gave to Abu Dharr, he said, Ya Abu Dharr, kafa bika aiban an tajid ala an-nasi ma ta'lamhu min nafsik. He said, oh Abu Dharr, it suffices you to be at fault, or it is shameful that you get mad at people for that which you yourself, you are guilty of. Or you were guilty of one day, subhanAllah. But for some reason we expect perfection from people. And since, like, you know, we were born angels, we've never erred before, we've never made a mistake before. You see them kafirs around you, doesn't that make you feel bad? Doesn't that really bring sadness into your heart that these people are deprived of Islam? Oh, alhamdulillah, you know, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us, you know, living Muslims and dying in the state of Islam. But we also have an obligation towards these people. Look at us all here. Most of us are immigrants. We come here, we have better opportunities than the opportunities we had back home. We go to school, we make money, we have jobs, we can improve, so many good things. Political freedom, name it. What did we give back? And sometimes it's very sad that, you know, we feel like America is a milking cow and we're just going to milk it until it goes out of milk. At least that's how we behave. What about our moral obligations? How come we do not fulfill this? The biggest one of them being, how come we're not sharing Islam with these people? So anyways, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I do not want to be in that position. So these shackles, my brothers and sisters, they must be dealt with and they must be eliminated. Some of them we talked about, knowing who is in charge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that you fear no one but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you're always hopeful in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has preserved for you. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ذَاقَ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ, he or she has tasted the sweetness of Iman. He who is pleased with Allah being their Rabb. Now how are you pleased with Allah being your Rabb? Whatever He decrees, you are in contentment with that. And that is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would tell us, الْقَنَاعَةُ كَنْزٌ لَا يَفْنَى. Contentment is a wealth that never goes away. Contentment, because the nature of humans, what is it? That we always want. We always want. We're never full. We're never satisfied. So the Prophet ﷺ would speak of you as a Muslim. One of it is that you'd have to be contentment. The reason why I asked for the board is some practical ways. I'm a bad speller, by the way. Okay. What happens is that can you hear me? What happens is that many times, remember what I said about earlier about perception and how we see things? This is the mechanism of how we work, especially when it comes to our feelings. What happens is that initially we have what we call the thoughts. Okay. The thoughts, they determine how we feel. And then when we feel, that determines how we behave. You following?
Okay.
So what we have here is thoughts. The thoughts determine how we feel. The feeling is leading us to behave in whatever way that we are behaving. Unfortunately, most of the time, where do you think people concentrate on? So improve the behavior of the individual. Work on the behavior of the individual. But you can probably sugarcoat this. You're eliminating the symptoms, but you're not really eliminating the origin of the problem itself. Are you following? Remember what I said earlier about how if you control the thoughts of people, you can literally control their feelings and you can absolutely predict their behavior. Okay? This happens, for example, with mass media. They control your thoughts. They tell you what to think. Because the minute they have your thoughts, they control your thoughts, then that will determine how you're going to feel. Then they can absolutely predict how you're going to behave. Let me give you an example. If you have, you know, when you are about to buy a gas station, you know who would be a good person to consult? You're trying to buy a gas station. Well, that guy. But I'm just saying, like, as in profession, whom would you consult? Okay. Usually the people that are consulted most when it comes to buying these things, believe it or not, are psychologists. Do you know why? Stuff that we all do. Believe me, we all do this. If you are driving, which gas station would you prefer? The one on the left-hand side, the left-hand side or the right-hand side? Why is that? It's easy. You avoid making what? U-turn or an extra turn that is not needed. Well, where do you think that came from? No, but are you seeing, you know, what would that do? You go, and I think I told you about the shelves in the store. When you go to the store, what happens? Eye level items are more expensive. You know how they talk about colors? Okay. When you go to the store, whom do you think really puts the items where they are? I'm serious, wallahi, that's what it is. They designed the store in such a way that, subhanAllah, they design it in such a way by almost predicting how you're going to react to it. My favorite is they have baby food, baby formula, pet food. The same aisle. Why? Because you ask a person, do you have children? No, but I have two cats. You know, towards the end of the time, the Prophet ﷺ, well, not towards the end of time, but it was a man by... He's a news commentator, Paul Harvey. Okay, after Columbine, he made a very interesting statement. You all remember Columbine High School when the two kids went around killing people. He said, "I know what is wrong with America," and this is what he said. He said, "We get rid of 25% of our kids, abortion, and then he said the other 25% of our kids are not wanted, contraceptives." Then he said the other 25% of our kids are mistakes. Contraceptives did not work. Then he said the other 25% are inconveniences. Then he said we treat our kids like our pets and we treat our pets like our kids. You tell Johnny to go to his room, but you want little Kathy Bobby to sit next to you on the couch. Now this is unfortunately how it goes. So people understanding say, you know what? Okay, we're going to have the baby formula, the baby food, and the pet food also, you know, within the same aisle. What happens is that when it comes to our thoughts, most of us are guilty of what we call stinking thinking. Okay, what that means is that we develop what we call like automatic thoughts. You know, automatic. So a person made a statement. You've got an automatic thought that cannot really be rationally explained. Now that you're thinking this way, what's going to make you feel a certain way, and based on the feeling, you're going to behave in that way.
You follow what I'm trying to say here? Am I making sense? Wallahi? Okay. So what happens is that the thoughts is where these things are. If you can control, or at least let's say that regulate, modify, make sure that you catch yourself when you are having these thinking moments, that will really, really ease a lot of whatever comes afterwards. In fact, one of the most beautiful theories in psychology is by this guy called Aaron Beck, and this is exactly what he teaches. He said that most of the disorders, or most be it depression or what have you, most of the suffering that people go through probably is because of these thoughts. You know how sometimes people usually ask me, as I am talking to them, they say, "Are you psychoanalyzing me right now? Are you trying to figure out what my personality is?" I'll tell you, the first semester of school, I was doing this with everyone. Actually, I was so generous, I was giving each person a disorder. Okay? Sounds like he had a childhood trauma there. He's got an aggression problem right there. He's got these denial issues. So you go around and you're just giving people disorders left and right. What was I talking about? I forgot what I was talking about. Wallahi, I forgot. Huh? Astaghfirullah azim. Wallahi, I forgot. Oh, yes. Thank you. Jazakallah khair. Okay, so what happens is that the idea is to look into your thoughts. And really see, are these thoughts, are they really rational? Can you really make the deduction that you just made? You know, this happens a lot with couples. Yeah, a person would make a statement and they would automatically interpret the statement. Although there is really no rational way for justifying what they have done. But the minute you do that, then what are you getting? You're feeling a certain way, and then you are behaving in that way because of the way that you are, that you're feeling. Let's take an example. For example, I'm sorry, I just remembered. You lied to me, that's not what I was talking about. I just remembered. People ask, would I be psychoanalyzing them, when I am talking. Believe it or not, sometimes, unfortunately, don't get mad at me here, but I do. It's like because I need guinea pigs at this point, I need to make hours. But what happens is that as a person is talking, the type of words that they use, you can really look into it. For example, when people speak in absolutes, okay, what do I mean by this? The type of words that they use all the time, it always ends with EST, the biggest. It is the best. It is the worst. The absolute, it's all about absolutes, or the shoulds, okay? It's all, or the must, okay? Now, what they're thinking is that they're really thinking of everything must be ideal. Well, what happens if it's not ideal? That's going to make you feel bad. What happens if you're feeling bad, then that's going to make you behave in a certain way, okay? So in Islam, we say that when it comes to this issue, the Quran teaches us to deal with things the way they are, not the way they should be. You following? Deal with things the way they are, and not necessarily the way they should be. Well, they are not that way. They're not that way. So what do? We wait for it until it becomes that way? That cannot be it. So what do? You deal with it as it is right now. And subhanAllah, this is the beauty of the Quran as well, is that it deals with it from up here. Remember what I said earlier about Islam being an intellectual revolution as well, starting from here, making sure that your thoughts are sound, and taking it from there, because that's where the core of the of most of the problems is. So in any case, going back to just give you a summary of these shackles. Remember, one of them was ignorance. Another one of them was the ham and the gham, prisoner of the past or the prisoner of the future. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say al-kufr wal-fuqr, disbelief and poverty. And then the Prophet say al-bukhl wal-jubn, being coward or fear and stinginess.
And then also the Prophet ﷺ would say, غلبت الدين وقهر الرجال, debts and being dominated by men, meaning that you are just so weak, you are made incapable because of the work of other people or what other people have done to you. You were overpowered. And that's, again, that's a shackle that people put on you, like slavery, for example, let's say, or the fact that you're poor where other people are determining your destiny and what have you. So these are the shackles, or some of the shackles, that we must rid ourselves from. And finally, again, let me compliment you one more time, people. I think you are the most patient people, subhanAllah, that I have come across, mashaAllah. You've been here for a long time. I've seen some of you since 2 o'clock, mashaAllah. And, you know, JazakAllah khair for the invitation, and subhanAllah. I really pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, you know, something that was said was of benefit to, you know, some of us. And if I have made a mistake in the process of doing so, it's my fault. And if I have done something, said something that is right, was by the grace and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I believe that these gatherings are not necessarily, what makes them is important is not really the teaching part, but rather it is just a way of provoking us into thinking, provoking us into thinking, inshallah, and just see, you know, what we can benefit from this. Most of the time, you know, people ask me, well, you know, what does Islam say about what you're studying or what you do and what have you? And subhanAllah, you know, what these people teach, some of it is Islamic and some of it is not. So what you do is that you filter, and that which does not correspond with Islam, you just neglect, and that which corresponds with Islam, you do something about it. But the sad part is that lately, the Muslims, we have not really been contributing anything. We're being critical only. We wait for others to do, and then we consume, or we wait for others to say, and then we criticize. What about our own initiation? You know, one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Musawwir. Al-Musawwir. Does anyone know what Al-Musawwir means? What does it mean? Be more specific, designer. Yeah, be more specific than designer. Yeah, it means it's very close to designer, but I'll It's very close to design. I'm just looking for something specific.
Engineer?
Huh? That's it. Shape. Okay. Musawwir is the one that gives everything its form or its shape or its design. Okay. And remember what I said? Okay, sue me. I'm kidding. Okay. Remember what we said earlier, that part of what was that recorded there? Okay. Remember what we said earlier, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, huh?
Yeah, reviews.
Yeah, what?
Review.
Oh. Remember what we said earlier? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he said that derive your manners from the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this is one of the attributes of Allah. Now what does that mean? It means to us in a human level, because we are trying to derive our manners from, or our character from, the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then what is our job as al-musawwir? Al-musawwir is the one that gives a thing its form or its shape. Al-musawwar is the one that is shaped. Okay? Now in other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, be in charge of shaping what is around you, and do not be so weak that you ended up being shaped by whatever is around you. You see the difference? In this sense, you are supposed to shape the society that is around you, because that is one of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's where you get your character from. But what is happening is that we are so affected by what is around us, we are being shaped by what is around us. And again, that is the beauty of just not being very critical,
when people do or when people say, but rather we ought to initiate. And I think that's what made the Muslims back then what they were. And unfortunately, at this point, we just wait for others to perform, and then we either consume or we criticize. Al-Musawwir is the fa'il, the doer. Al-Musawwir is the doee, the one that was shaped. Musawwar is maf'ul, yes. Musawwir is the fa'il, the doer. Inshallah, if you have comments or questions, inshallah, I think. And generally speaking, you know, maybe you can think of a shackle that I did not mention. Maybe you can share with us. Or a brother, by the way, shared one with me, and he said denial. And I thought that was a very good one, because that is your resistance to accepting a certain shortcoming or certain fault. It could be also very... But it's the resistance that we have for a reason or another to a certain shortcoming, mistake, fault that is going on. And that usually shackles you down because you do not want to give yourself the opportunity of confronting that which is wrong so that you can do something about it. And I thought that was a good one. So if anyone can come up with more shackles, I think inshallah that will really enrich what was said. Like I said earlier, the idea is not really to teach, the idea is really to provoke in these kind of gatherings. Okay, very quickly, he said the mountains, but then they're cut by metal. The metal is melted by fire. The fire is put off by water. Water is quieted by the clouds. Clouds are moved by the wind. Wind, if the son of Adam holds tight to whatever he's wearing, then he overcomes the strength of the wind. But then if the son of Adam is intoxicated, then intoxication overpowers the son of Adam. But then if you sleep, that relieves you from the impact of intoxicants. But then if you've got anxiety, you never go to sleep. So, is that...